This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm David Greene.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Good morning. We are expecting momentarily a news conference in Boston where we will learn the latest that investigators are willing and able to tell us about yesterday's explosions near the finish line of the Boston Marathon. Just to review what we do know so far, three people were killed by those explosions, well over 100 injured, more than 140 by one count. We're about to begin this news conference and learn a little bit more. Governor Deval Patrick of Massachusetts, along with ATF and FBI officials, are expecting to speak. We also are expecting the U.S. Attorney, Carmen Ortiz. And here we are at the microphone with Governor Deval Patrick.
Everyone, thank you for coming this morning. Less than 24 hours after yesterday's act of terror, we wanted to organize a briefing for you with the information that we have. The mayor is here, the members of our congressional delegation, all of the law enforcement leadership. We have several people who want to present to you this morning and take your questions. A couple points I want to mention at the outset. I told you yesterday that the FBI has taken charge of the investigation. Special Agent in Charge Rick DeLaurier will speak shortly. It's important to clarify that two and only two explosive devices were found yesterday. All other parcels in the area of the blast have been examined, but there are no unexploded bombs. There were no unexploded explosive devices found. Over 150 people were injured yesterday in the blast, some gravely. Our thoughts go out to all of those injured and killed. And to their families and friends. I personally want to thank the extraordinary first responders for their just extraordinary work yesterday. Every single one of them, those who were on site and those who got to the site promptly thereafter, performed beautifully, as have the area hospitals. And I've been calling around to the heads of the hospitals personally to thank them as well. It's our hope that tomorrow we will organize an interfaith prayer service to help our community heal. We don't have details on that yet, but we will provide those details when we have them. There is a support center that was opened yesterday in what we call the Castle, opposite the Park Plaza Hotel on Arlington and Stewart Street, I think it is. The mayor and his has
for those just joining us, let me just mention that you're listening to live coverage of Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, who's giving a news conference with the latest information on the Boston Marathon bombing. We're expecting to hear from an FBI special agent shortly.
Everyone should expect continued heightened police presence, and everyone should continue personally to be vigilant. The investigation continues, and until it is done, all of those in law enforcement, represented by the leaders here, will be present in force in the area around the blast and throughout the city. And with that, let me turn it over to Mayor Menino.
Thank you, Governor. Yesterday, the terror was brought to the city of Boston. Tragedy was brought to one of our neighborhoods also. This is a close-knit place, the city of Boston. Here we know our neighbors. We grieve for them. We grieve for the little boy who we knew from Dorchester. But also today I want to say we know our heroes also. They are the men and women who wear helmets, who wear the badges, the runners, who helped us yesterday during this time of need. And as we go together on this issue with all the law enforcement officials, we're going to make sure the city pulls together. You know, we got it under control. Let's continue to work together. Let's keep offering a helping hand to individuals who may need it during this very difficult time in our city's history. But I just say to all of you, I've been mayor for 20 years now. I've never seen law enforcement pull together, working together to solve our crime in our city as they have, but also how people pull together, the business community, the neighbors, everyone. This is a tragedy, but Boston's a strong city. We're a city that'll get through this. And like the governor said, we set up a resource center over at the Castle near the Park Plaza Hotel, where staff will be there available to give information to individuals who've been involved in the marathon. It's open from 9 to 5, and the phone number is, let me think of that phone number, 635 50 firearms.
Let me just remind our local stations we're going to stay with this news conference in the minutes to come as we continue to learn more about the investigation here on Morning Edition. This is Thomas Menino, the mayor of Boston.
The 24-hour hotline that you need, need information also. That number is 617-635-4500. And over the last several hours, we've received calls from all over the world asking us information about the our tragedy and how they could help us. So this is a bad day for Boston, but I think that if you pull together, we'll get through it. We're a strong city, a lot of people willing to work together to make this a better place for all our people. And so as we gather here today with all our officials, let's say Boston will overcome.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Senator?
Thank you. Thank you, Governor. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The President of the United States has pledged his full support in all efforts, both to keep the city safe and to find the person who did this and bring them to justice. We did not have to reach out to the President. The President reached out to us. He called the governor, he called the mayor, he called the members of the delegation.
This is Senator Elizabeth Warren.
The President is actively involved here in responding. On behalf of our congressional delegation, Senator Cowan is here with me and Congressman Lynch, and all of the members of our delegation, we want to extend our thanks to the first responders, to the firefighters, to the police officers, to the EMS, to everyone on the scene, including the volunteers who came and helped those in trouble and helped save lives. We also want to thank those from all around the country and all around the world whose prayers and thoughts and offers of help have poured in. We are deeply grateful. As the mayor says, Boston will survive.
Thank you, Governor. Good morning. My name is Rick DeLaurier. I'm the special agent in charge of the FBI's Boston Division. I would like to start this morning by thanking the first responders from Boston EMS and Boston Fire Department and the volunteer physicians, nurses, and medical staff from the community who volunteered at the marathon. Their services and heroic actions saved lives yesterday afternoon. We continue to work shoulder to shoulder with our JTTF partners at the Boston Police Department, the Massachusetts State Police, as well as all our other JTTF agencies. Our mission is clear: to bring to justice those responsible for the marathon bombing. The American public wants answers. The citizens of the city of Boston and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts want and deserve answers. This group of dedicated men and women standing before you today pledged to do everything possible to get those answers. This remains a very active investigation. Our ongoing investigation in various locations throughout the area goes on. However, there are no known additional threats. We continue to interview various witnesses and process the crime scene, which could take some time. The citizens of Massachusetts and the city of Boston should expect to see the FBI and its JTTF partners conducting investigative activity in the greater eastern Massachusetts and Boston area. Assistance from the public remains critical in establishing a timeline of events which leads to swift conclusion through due diligence and strong investigative activity. We commend the public, we commend the citizens of Boston and the citizens of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts for the information that has been provided to law enforcement so far, and we strongly encourage that assistance to continue. It is paramount to explain the FBI and our JTTF role to a greater extent, the volume of tips we have received, and reiterating the resources we provide. We have received voluminous tips over the last 18 hours since the incident. We have staffed our 1-800-CALL-FBI tip line, and we continue to encourage individuals to contact.
You're listening to a live news conference from Boston. Some of our stations will break away at this point. Others will stay with us right here on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Working as we speak, processing evidence at the crime scene. To the extent that the crime scene still plays in Copley perimeter and it continues to be a crime scene, it may be that for several days. The FBI JTTF is logically following up on a variety of leads. You will see us and our law enforcement partners interviewing, maybe your neighbor or coworker or even yourself in coming days. We encourage you to please cooperate with law enforcement authorities. The resources the FBI and the JTTF allow for swift action, which we hope will yield quick results, but that does not diminish our diligence and persistence in combing through the high volume of evidence and leads that we are processing right now. We are just beginning upon that path. Thank you very much.
I'm a I'm Gene Marquez, Acting Special Agent in Charge, ATF Boston Field Division. At this time, ATF has done a partial NRT, National Response Team activation. We are bringing our explosive specialist here to the scene, and we will be working jointly with the FBI and its partners on the JTTF. We have certified explosive specialists. We have explosives enforcement officers. We have special agent bomb techs, and we have canines that are trained to detect any explosive devices or any residue. At this time, we have approximately 30 forensic specialists en route or on the scene. And to dispel any rumors, there were rumors floating around that there were up to seven devices at one point. That is not true. I think that happened as a result of some suspect packages that were disrupted. But we only have two devices that we're aware of, and both of those devices were the ones that involved in the damage and were involved in the explosives incident. At this time, we are looking for the public's cooperation. We're looking if there's any video, any photographic evidence.
And for those stations rejoining us, we are listening to a live news conference from Boston. Gene Marquez of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms giving an update here on yesterday's Boston Marathon explosions.
We are pursuing those investigative leads at this time. The scene is going to take several days to process. We just ask for your patience as we're working in that area and for your cooperation.
Okay, and let's analyze a little bit of what we've been hearing at this news conference. We have heard from several officials over the last several minutes. Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, Thomas Menino, the mayor of Boston, along with a couple of investigators, Rick DeLaurier of the FBI and Gene Marquez of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, have given some updates on what they know, what they're willing to say, what they're comfortable saying at this point. Let's go to NPR's counterterrorism correspondent, Dina Temple-Raston, who's been listening with us. And Dina, what have you learned over the last few minutes?
Well, I think what we've learned that's new is that Duvall said that there were only two explosive devices found. That's meaningful because we heard yesterday that they had exploded a third device.
Mm-hmm.
It was a controlled explosion. It was unclear whether there was an explosion inside or they thought it was suspicious.
Yeah.
Right. And now we know for sure they blew it up. And they have found nothing else. I think the other thing that is new is the actual number of over 150 injured. That's the first we've heard of that.
That's the highest number we've had. It was maybe 140 or more, so it's gone a little bit higher.
It's gone even higher. And then the other thing we now know is we knew the FBI was leading the investigation, but now we also know that the ATF, the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, is looking at the bomb itself.
Is that just a bureaucratic matter there? Does that tell you something about the way the investigators are leaning?
It tells you something about this being a terrorism investigation as opposed to something else.
Now, let's add to that a little bit of perspective you've been giving us throughout the morning. What are investigators saying privately that can add to what they have been saying publicly in the last several minutes?
Well, they've been very careful. This is very interesting to me, the way they have held so much information closely. There's a real concern that they get this right. And these kinds of investigations are very difficult. You remember in 1996, there was the bombing at the Olympic Games in Atlanta, and
mm-hmm.
they had accidentally decided that a security guard named Richard Jewell might have been responsible. Turns out they were completely wrong. It was a man named Eric Rudolph, and it took them years to find Eric
But
Rudolph.
Just very quickly here, people ask a question like, is this domestic or foreign? Any sense from investigators?
They seem to be trending towards this being domestic because the bombs themselves don't seem to have the kind of signatures that they look for
mm-hmm.
in international terrorism. And they also are looking very intently at timing. The fact that this happened on Tax Day, on Patriots Day in Boston, the fact that it's within days of when the Oklahoma City bombing happened, which is April 19th, all these things are meaningful.
Dina, are you hearing anything that would suggest that this is not going to take years to solve? I mean, this is a conversation you and I had earlier this morning, and that sort of stunned me. I think there's a feeling that we could solve this in a short period of time, but this could be a long, long while.
And everything I'm hearing, and this is very unusual, because usually you hear threads and tips that they feel they're following. Everything I'm hearing is that they think this is going to be a long investigation.
Dina, stay with us if you can. Let's bring a different voice in. Roger Cressy, a former member of the U.S. National Security Council. He served as senior cybersecurity and counterterrorism in the Clinton and Bush administrations. Mr. Cressy, are you on the line?
I am indeed.
Can you tell us here what is the responsibility of the White House and the Obama administration as this investigation goes forward?
Their responsibility is to make sure that all the elements of the U.S. government are focused and bringing all their resources to bear. It's it's to lead and push where necessary, but also it's to stand back and let the experts and specialists do their job. I think what Dina said is very important in that you need to find that one thread in the investigation, begin to pull that. And then the other thing to think about is intelligence collection and analysis post-attack, be it domestic or overseas, is you're building a mosaic. So you're putting all the pieces together that you collect and then try and identify what that picture actually is.
And be willing to spend years if it takes years, I suppose.
Oh, absolutely. And as Dina said, in the Centennial Park attack in the 1996 Olympics, it took several months. So this is a really unique attack, and because of that, I think we're going to unless they catch a break real quickly, or someone or an organization claims credit and they're able to run that to ground, this could take some time.
Well, Mr. Cressy, thanks for. Oh, go ahead, David Green.
Yeah, Mr. Cressy, I just wonder what questions would you be asking right now at this stage? I mean, this early stage of the investigation.
So the first question is, you go back into the intelligence community and you say, look at the databases. Is there anything that you have, that you collected, that at the time seemed innocent or innocuous, and now post-attack you can tie to the events in Boston? Second thing is, within Boston and the local law enforcement community, do they have all the resources necessary to do the interviews, the investigation, and begin to build that mosaic? And I think those are the two drivers right now from the White House perspective. The most important thing to keep in mind here is, mm-hmm. you don't want to be first, you want to be right when it comes to conclusions. So all the listeners need to keep that in mind, because this could take some time.
All right. Roger Cressy, formerly with the U.S. National Security Council, thanks very much. And let's bring in one more voice here before we close out the hour. NPR White House correspondent Ari Shapiro is standing by. Ari, in just 30 or 40 seconds, what is the White House doing this morning?
Well, so far we've only heard of briefings the president has received from Lisa Monaco, his counterterrorism advisor. We understand this morning he will also be briefed by FBI Director Robert Mueller. The overwhelming message from the president is make sure that state and local officials have everything they need for this investigation and the recovery. As we heard last night, the president pledged his assistance, and he said he has told his staff that he expects to be kept abreast of any new developments.
And will the president be addressing this publicly again?
Well, on his schedule today, his only public remarks are scheduled to be with the NASCAR champion, who was previously scheduled to appear at the White House. There's a public appearance. It is hard to imagine that will be the only statement the president makes today. But as of now, that's all that's on his schedule as far as public statements go.
Okay, Ari, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
That's NPR White House correspondent Ari Shapiro. A little bit earlier today, we were listening to portions of a live news conference from Boston at which state officials and federal officials were giving the latest information that they're able to provide about the investigation of yesterday's bombing at the Boston Marathon. And as we heard, a little bit of updated information here. Officials stressed more than once that they believed there were only two devices. There had been rumors of as many as seven. There was even what was thought to be possibly a device that was actually blown up. Now officials say there were two improvised explosive devices. They appear not to have been very sophisticated. They nevertheless were quite deadly. The latest death toll that we have is three. The latest number of injured has now gone up. According to Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, it has exceeded 150 people injured at the Boston Marathon yesterday. We'll bring you more as we learn it on Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm David Green.